right, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. We've got a perfect agenda here tonight, and I don't know what they told you we're going to be doing tonight, but I do know now pretty close to what I'm going to do. And at the close of our teaching, we're going to have impartation. We're going to impart into the soul, the heart, the lives of people here tonight, the things of God. As a little kid, I was raised with a lot of brothers and sisters, and we were raised all of our life in poverty. And I knew what it was to look in a window, want something, and never have it. And of course, a lot of you have been blessed of God. You've been super blessed, and you know. And I don't think there's any real benefit from being poor. But I know that poverty is not a tool that God uses. You know, it's a tool that God may permit to be used in our lives sometimes when we're not listening to the real things that God wants to work in our life. But I remember as a little kid looking in the window. There was a place called Howard Griffin Land of Toys. And it was, oh, Lord, I forgot to do that. I don't do that. That is so sick. But let me get your mind in a place where God's going to take us tonight. There's a lot of things. I'm really not good at very many things, really. I am really not good. I'm really not good at taking the garbage out. That's something I'm really not good at. But I am good. There's one thing that I have perfected in my life, and that is to hear the voice of God, to know what God wants to do in a moment that God wants to do it. And that's something that I've developed in my life. Everything else, I'm not very good at anything else. I've never been asked to sing a special, and I've never been asked to preach a conference. But anyway, so I would look in this window. We would go by, and we'd beg our mother to stop by this Howard Griffin Land of Toys, and we would walk down the big windows. And it was a long, long parking lot, and these huge windows, and all these toys were in this window. And oh, I pressed my face to the window. I want that, and I want this, and I want that. And never got it. Never got one time. Got other things. My mom and dad worked hard to make a living and clothe us and feed us. And Christmas time came around. We always got some things at Christmas. But to get those things that we all dream for, never got them. When it come to God, I learned that my doubt is a window pane that keeps me from receiving from God. But my faith allows me to step into that Howard Griffin Land of Toys and get everything that I need. When I found that out, that God doesn't look at who I am or who you are, but He honors faith. I made my mind up in 1973 that I was going to develop faith in my life. I was going to find a way to develop faith. And so I quit whining, I quit complaining, I quit wasting my time with my failures and my troubles, and I started using them to learn. So I'm going to tell you some things tonight that if you will listen and let God apply them to your life the way He sees He wants to apply them, then you can take a real big shortcut tonight. Every time you meet at church, every time you meet there, you should always have a pen and paper with you. Because God will always give you a God thought every time you go to church. If you're recognizing it, if you're looking for it. And maybe you won't even write but one thing down. There's been times I've been in church and I wrote one word down. But that one word saved me hours of toil and trouble or directed my life in a moment when I really needed it. And when you have mentors in your life, I'm a temporary mentor, but when you have a mentor, a pastor, a father, a mother, a praying brother or sister, somebody in your family that cares about you, prays for you, and speaks to you, that's a spirit of mentorship. And God will send that to you. Most of the time, we don't recognize our mentors. We don't identify them. Or maybe we don't even identify the fact that God's word is about being mentored. And so the Holy Spirit tonight is going to do some mentoring in you and through you. And when I start talking tonight, you're going to think, well, I came here for another reason. Because what I'm going to tell you may not be what you want to hear. You know, you may want the button that pushes the rocket. But before you get to the button that pushes the rocket, you got to have the key to get into the house. You know, I may not give you the rocket tonight, but I'm going to give you a key that's going to get you in the house where the rocket is. And you have to first learn to crawl before you walk. And the book of Mark says there's the seed, then comes the blade, then comes the fruit. There's an order to everything. God's got you on in a place right now that you're growing on different levels. The main thing you want to do is just keep growing. I keep doing things I've never done before. After 30-something years of ministry, God still speaks to me and I do things and I go, wow, I've never done that before. And that's amazing after 30-something years that you can still do things, say things, and be a part of things. So it's pretty exciting, isn't it, being a child of God? But get ready. The Holy Spirit's going to knock your socks off. I mean, I've got things already printed up. I brought things with me that I felt like the direction I was going to be working in this weekend. But out of it all, I sat down at the desk this afternoon in the hotel, and the Holy Spirit began to write. As you can see, this is freehand writing here. And I started writing things that the Holy Spirit is intending on somebody, if not everybody, in this meeting to have. At the age of 38, driving to my birthday party at 38 years old, the Spirit of God spoke to me and told me, he said, when you're 40 years old, you're going to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God said, it's nothing like you think it is. Because people like to take the Spirit of God, the gifts of the Spirit, glamorize it, dress it up, make it dramatic, make it mysterious, and it sidetracks you. The Spirit of God, the anointing of God, is not to be a show-off, to make yourself look important. It's not to, sometimes people use it to try to identify things in people's lives that really is not the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to name things tonight, but there's some things that I see people ministering with the Spirit of God that's really not what the Spirit of God is all about. It's all about edifying the body. You can look at Ephesians 4 and verse 4 on down. It's to edify the body of Christ. It's for the working of the ministry. I remember years ago, I was in a service before the Lord really started really using me. And there was a woman gave tongues and interpretation. And in those tongues and interpretation, she was getting on to another woman in that church. And that was nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Nothing to do with the gifts of the Spirit. So I'm not going to try to identify the gifts of the Spirit tonight, but just get your mind in a place where it's really about the work of God. It's really about edifying God and lifting God up. So at 38, the Lord spoke to me and said, when you turn 40, the gifts of the Spirit are going to work in your life, and they're going to work clearly, and they're going to be understood, and you're going to understand what you're supposed to do. 2 years before it happened, as I gradually got close, and this will answer some of your questions, as I gradually got closer to 40, I noticed a real activity of the Holy Ghost working in my life. God telling me things, showing me things, and I watched them come to pass. And it started building up my faith for that 40-year-old birthday party. Then I remember driving down the road, going to my birthday party at 40 years old and saying to myself, I'm 40 years old, something powerful is going to happen. It didn't happen that night or the next day, but within just a few weeks or months, I was moving in a dimension of faith and a dimension of the gifts of the Spirit. And it just got stronger and stronger through 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, and 48 years old. Then I'm going to my birthday party. Boy, it's just the way it is. I'm just telling you. And I'm going to my birthday party. I'm 48 years old, and the Lord speaks to me, and he says, when you turn 50, he said, you're going to teach the principles of the miraculous, and you're going to teach the gifts of the Spirit, so that people can receive them and understand how it works. And when people understand how my Spirit works, it's going to simplify the mystery of it. It's going to remove their fears out of their hearts and their doubts. And it's going to make them relax so that I can work in their presence. Have you ever noticed when you give up on a miracle, it happens? Well, it really wasn't you giving up on the miracle. It was you getting to a place where you stop trying to make it happen your way, you stop trying to do a certain thing in your own self, and you released yourself to God, and guess what? It began to happen. And if you can learn that little secret. So at 48, God spoke to me. I turned 50. And all of a sudden, I started teaching the gifts of the Spirit and the Word of God. And thus, part of what I'm going to do tonight is development of that. I'm 59 years old. I know I look 39. But I'm 59. And when I turned 60, God spoke to me when I was 58 years old. He told me, he said, when you turn 60, you're going to impart the gifts of the Spirit into people's lives. You're going to impart power and authority into their life. And so I'm almost 60. The last year and 3 or 4 months, I've been noticing impartation growing in my life. And I become possessed with, when God told me when I was 38, the gifts were going to work, I just became impressed, possessed, enthralled about the gifts of the Spirit. I just got a hunger for them. And I'll talk about one of those laws in our notes tonight in our ministry. Then when God spoke to me and said, you're going to teach it, I never was, look, before I turned 50, I just preached the Word of God. I screamed, I hollered, I jumped, I threw things. I fell on the ground and flopped like a fish. I mean, that was just the way God operated in my life. But when I turned 50, all of a sudden, I became this man of great wisdom. No, God began to let that ministry work in me. And so now I'm noticing the impartation. I'm noticing God is, for example, like this. The last 6 months, God has spoke to me. And most every time I go somewhere where I can take someone with me, I take a young person with me. At first, I didn't even understand what I was doing. I just knew that God would lay on my heart to take this young person with me to a meeting somewhere. And maybe they would testify 5 minutes, and maybe they would stand there and help me pray for people. And I didn't really say anything to them or do anything. I didn't really understand it until all of a sudden I realized that that was the beginning of ministry of impartation. That God was having me take people with me to these meetings, like out of our church, or sometimes young evangelists would come preach for us, and I just call them on the phone. I'm going to be over here. Can you meet me over there and be in service with me that night? And I noticed that the impartation. So my birthday is April the 18th, and I'll be 60 years old, and I'll be full-blown into impartation. And I'm excited about what I'm going to be doing at 70. Ha! Woo! I hope there's something. I promise you, if the Lord tarries and I live long enough, if I'm 68 and I don't hear nothing, I'm going to get real nervous. I'm going to get real nervous about being 70. But as the song says, surely there's a work that I can do. So at 70, I know there's going to be something I'm going to be doing. Might be in a wheelchair, but I'm going to be doing it. I want you to look in your Bible to Job 33 and 4. And I'm going to talk about 8 keys to the knowledge of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about 8 keys. Job 33 and 4. I'm going to talk about 8 keys to the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And I know that you can, you know, listen, I know that, and I see it happen in churches all the time. People grab the pew. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, is moving on them, and they're gripping that pew and they're bearing down. And man, I mean, the Holy Ghost has got to knock their hands off the pew to use them. And I know that we walk in that kind of a agenda, and that's not really the way the Lord works. He works in a small, still voice. He moves gently upon our hearts. So that while we're there grabbing and saying, well, if God really wants to do it, he'll have to blow me up, is not really the way God does it. But God does get desperate. God does move upon us. And we find ourselves at times God uses us after he's having to try to make us do it. Every preacher at some point makes a statement, oh, I didn't want to preach. God called me. I ran from the call. But you know, you got to get to a place where you stop running. You got to get to a place where you give up to God and you just give in. And you just start selling out to God and start developing the Spirit of God that's in you. And knowledge is more powerful than anything in the Word of God. You know what faith is? Faith is not a feeling. Faith has nothing to do about a feeling. Feelings come after faith operates. Some of your greatest faith moments will be times when you feel nothing till you see the result of your faith. So faith has nothing to do with feelings. But you know what faith is? Faith is knowledge. And I've studied books and I've read, you know, Smith Wigglesworth. I've read every book that's ever been written about that man in my early ministry. Paul S. Price. You could just name anybody that's been used in the supernatural. T.W. Barnes, every book was ever written about his life. Sent under his ministry for a season and a time. Kenneth up from Granite, Illinois, you told me about him. Kenneth Reeves. Read some of his books and was around him and around these men. And I've received something from all of that, from all of those times being around them. And I've been motivated to reach out to that and to find that. And tonight the Lord is going, I promise you this, that if you'll let God, you're going to move from the place where God has to bombard you, that he has to beg you, that he has to push you, that he's got to prophesy to you. You got to quit coming to the place where somebody's got to call you out, got to say this to you. You know, I used to, when I first come to God, if they sing that again, I'm going to run the aisles. Guess what? They sang it again, and I didn't run the aisles. And I said, sing it one more time, and I'm going to do it. That is not, that has nothing to do with God in you. You're supposed to just, in a moment's notice, in a little touch of the Spirit of God, ready to obey the Lord and do his will, right? Amen. So get it out of your heart and your mind tonight that you're going to resist God. You're going to quit resisting. And knowledge helps you to stop resisting. Because you start understanding how God works. You start understanding that you are made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. So you're ready to be used of God. I'm not going to be hindered at all by my feelings tonight to obey God. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do. You are God's greatest product. It's not the building. It's not the chairs. It's not the parking lot. It's not advertising. Advertisement, evangelist, you are are God's greatest product. Everything, the building, the ministry, everything is about you. The preacher and his call of God, his full-time ministry is to develop you. Once again, Ephesians 4 and verse 1 all the way down. You read that later and you'll see it's all about you. You are God's product. You're the one thing he's thinking about. Yes, you've got to make decisions about a lot of things in your life, but the one thing that God is moved by is you, and you got to get that. Job 33 and 4, the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. I just want you to see the emphasis that Job is putting on the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. There is no replacement for a hunger and a walk with the Spirit of God. It's just nothing, there's nothing that takes its place. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Pray for people. You want blinded eyes to open, deaf ears to unstop. You want people to come out of wheelchairs. You know, you want financial miracles to take place. But all of that are byproducts. They're byproducts of a spiritual life, of walking with God. Here are eight keys to the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Faith is knowledge. When God tells you something, it's not hard to have faith. If God told me I'm going to walk in this place and I'm going to heal this person, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, that's knowledge. When I walk in there and I see that person, it's easy for me to have faith. I had a dream one time. I went to sleep and I had a dream of this church I was preaching in. In this dream, I walked in the service. A man walks in the back. The Spirit of God speaks to me and says, this man's receiving the Holy Ghost tonight. I walk in that church that night, and lo and behold, he walks in the building. He sits down in the back. Do you think I was blowing up with faith? Would you? If you had a dream and the guy walks in wearing the same shirt, sits in the same place. See, that's knowledge. God gave me supernatural knowledge. That guy's coming. He's getting the Holy Ghost. When I told the pastor, I said, that guy that just came in, he's got this shirt on, sitting over at so-and-so. He goes, yeah. I said, he's getting the Holy Ghost tonight. He said, he ain't getting the Holy Ghost. Not that guy. See, And there was nothing wrong with that. He didn't have the dream. He was not privy to the knowledge. So when I talk about the eight keys to the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, these are eight keys that will help you understand and help you have knowledge about the Holy Spirit. And what are the gifts of the Spirit? They are gifts of the Holy Ghost. They're to help us. Number one, I want you to write this down. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God?" The number one key is to understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Number one, the Spirit of God wants to live, dwell, and work in you. It's right now, the Holy Spirit's right now inside of you, ready to work inside you. It's resident there. The Holy Spirit's living there, ready to work in your life. Number two, Romans 12:3 says, "Unto every man is given the measure of faith." Every man is given the measure of faith. God gave you something to start with. Everybody in this building has something to start with. I don't care what level you're on. You start using your faith, you'll start changing your faith. Number three, the Holy Spirit will always give you the strength and determination so that you can stand for God, so that you can walk with God, so that you can do His will. The Holy Spirit will always give strength. You need strength? The Holy Spirit's your answer. You need determination? The Holy Spirit is your determination. If you're discouraged right now, I don't care what you're up against. If you'll let the Spirit of God start working in your life, the result will be that you'll have new strength and new determination. Somebody get this for me. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6, and 62 and 63. If you'll get that, just first one gets it, read it for us. John 6, 62 and 63. Hold it. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. If you see anything supernatural, if you see anything miraculous, it's because the Spirit of God quickened it. Now that word quickened is the same word that represents resurrection when it talks about Jesus was resurrected. Every miracle God does is connected to the resurrection. The greatest miracle that ever took place in the Bible was Jesus being raised from the dead. And what does the Bible say? It says one of the things that we have to believe is that Jesus arose from the dead. And I want to ask you right now, I'm going to show you how much faith you really have. How many here believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Amen. If you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, that's the basis of all faith. If you can believe that, you can believe anything. When God showed me that is every miracle, everything He does is a quickening of the Spirit of God. And the Bible says that Jesus was quickened. His spirit went back in His body. He was resurrected. And if you believe that, then you can believe anything. So the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, will give you strength and determination. And we find that in John 6 and 62. Did we read 63? Or finish reading. I know we didn't finish. The flesh profiteth nothing. Read on.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life.
And they are life. The Spirit of God that's living on the inside of you, that's where living and life is all about. Number four, write this down. The Holy Spirit gives you the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit creates it as a special weapon in your life. The Holy Spirit gives you the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit creates the Word of God and makes it into a special weapon in your life. It's called, in Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit. That's why people that don't have the renewal of the Holy Ghost in their life, they can't tap into what God's doing. They can't even understand the Word of God. You take denominational churches that don't have the Holy Ghost working in them. They have the Word of God, but it's not a sword of the Spirit. As soon as the Spirit of God quickens me, and as soon as the Spirit of God moves in my life, whether it's praying for people or teaching the Word of God or prayer or intercessory prayer, I noticed immediately when I first got saved, the Word of God became quickened in my heart. I was just a new convert. I was in the back of this truck. It was about 20 of us going out to work in the fields. We were planting pine trees. And there was some drug addicts working on that crew, and they were sitting in the back of that truck, and they were smoking dope. And I stuck my head out the back of the truck because I didn't want to breathe in the dope. And one of them saw me. They knew I was religious. And they said, "What are you doing?" I said, I don't want to breathe in any of that smoke at all whatsoever. I said, "I've been there. I've done that. I'm living for God. I want none of that." So one of the biggest guys in the back of that truck told me, he said, "You're going to take a hit off this. You're going to smoke this." And I said, "Oh, no, I'm not going to smoke it." And I just kind of, you know, bowed up against him. And I said, "Oh, no, I'm not." He said, "Give it to the preacher." He called me preacher. "Give it to the preacher." And I said, "If you give it to me, I'm going to throw it out the back of this truck." Physically, could I handle him? No way. This guy was huge. And I was way smaller than I am now. He said, "You throw it out the back of this truck, preacher, you're going out with it." I said, "Oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm not." And I mean, I really believe that. He said, "Oh, you're a fighting preacher. He's a fighting preacher." I said, "Yes, I am. I'm a fighting preacher. I'll fight. All right. I haven't whooped a preacher. I want to whoop a preacher. Come on, let's do it." And I pulled the Bible out of my back pocket, and I started the sword of the Spirit. And even right now when I'm talking about it, I can feel goosebumps come, just like they did when I pulled that Bible out and I started speaking the Word of God and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And that big guy just stood still right there in the back of that truck, and he sat down and didn't say another word to that afternoon. And then when they started picking on me that afternoon, he stood up and he said, "Anybody messes with the preacher has to mess with me." Huh? I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God in you will give you strength and determination. If you're up against something, you become discouraged, what do you need to do? Go get another touch from the Holy Ghost. Lock yourself in somewhere. Get in the Word of God and let the anointing of God begin to work, and you will get revived. It will revive you again. You think missionaries and pastors and preachers that we don't face discouragement? You never know. I might be standing here right now facing one of the biggest battles of my life, but you'll never know it, because when you go into the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life, one thing it's going to give you is courage and determination, and it's going to renew you, and it's going to give you power over your circumstances and power over your emotions and power over your doubts. And isn't that really what it's all about? Because everybody's going to face, I'm trying not to shout because I'm going to teach. I'm trying not to start throwing stuff all over the place. But I'm sensing this strength of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So Ephesians 6 and 17 says, in our number 4, key to understanding or the knowledge of the Holy Ghost or of the Holy Spirit, is that it will take the Word of God and make a sword of the Spirit. So it's important not only that you have your Bible and you have the Word of God, but that you understand the Word of God is how you're going to pick that sword up. Cannot pick it up without it. The flesh profiteth nothing. But when I let the Spirit of God work in my life, it's going to give me strength, it's going to anoint my life, and it's going to give me the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's in Ephesians 6 and 17. Number 5. The Holy Spirit is the source of joy. Someone get Psalms 16:11. We probably all know it, and I could probably almost quote it, but I want to get it exactly right. Someone get a Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16 and verse number 11. The Holy Spirit is the source of joy. joy and pleasures are the result of the Holy Spirit. That means if you're broke, that means if you don't have any friends, that means if you just lost your job. I wonder sometimes if people that we minister to don't really want to be sad, because they have the avenue and the source of great joy, and that is in His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures. The word pleasure is not a bad word, just because the world has taken it and made it into something terrible. In the presence, now I'm not going to be able to take time on these, but I'm going to give you a little something to write down, and I want you to study it on your own. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Right hand in the Bible is about power and authority. The Bible said that Jesus forever sat down on the right hand of the Father. And in the minds of a lot of people, they think there's the Father, the throne, and there's a little chair on the side, little seat, and Jesus is sitting there. But how many knows Jesus is not sitting in a little chair, a little high chair? How many knows He's not sitting in some little chair? I even got scripture to prove it. Stephen, looking up into heaven, saw Jesus standing. And I tell our good friends in denominational land, you know, I thought you told me that He sat down forevermore. Right hand is about authority and power. And if you write this down, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, and Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 20, and Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6, you will see that when Jesus sat down on the right hand of the throne of God, signifying the power that would forever be in the name of Jesus, that He took somebody with Him. And guess who that somebody is? Me and you. He took us to that right hand of power and authority, and we right now, we have access to the same power and the same authority that Jesus had. If you'll study the book of Ephesians, you'll find out Ephesians is the second part of the book of Romans. And Ephesians is identifying the authority and the power that we have in God. Romans might be talking about our separation from the world, but once you get separated from your sin and separated from the world, you got to get hooked up with Jesus and start operating in the way that He wants you to operate in. In Ephesians, there are two prayers there. I think I'm going to be talking about that in the morning and preaching on the power of these two prayers of Ephesians. Chapter 1 is a prayer, and I think Ephesians chapter 3 is a prayer. But in Ephesians 1 and 3 and 1 and 20 and 2 and 6, it identifies and shows you that you go with Jesus when He sits down the right hand, and the power and the authority is now given unto Him. Matthew 28, all power in heaven and earth is given unto Me. And then when you look in the Word of God, it says Jesus is the head of the church, and the church is the body of Christ. And in these verses in Ephesians, it talks about subduing all things and everything's under the feet of Jesus. When it talks about under the feet of Jesus, it's talking about you and it's talking about me. We are the feet. We are the body of Christ. And whatever the head, wherever the head went, the body goes with it. And when the head of Jesus ascended up to heaven and set down the right hand of power and authority, and forevermore, every demon, every devil is whipped. Jesus is not whipping demons. Jesus already whipped demons. And what happens when you get a knowledge of the Holy Spirit will speak to you and tell you that is already defeated. That's already whipped. I like it when Isaiah said, by His stripes we were. Peter says the same scripture, but he changes the word to was. Because Isaiah looks ahead in faith, and Peter looks back at the cross, And that's the way it works. In Jesus' name, right now, we have the authority and the power. We have the living life of the cross. It's not a picture. It's not a book. It's not a story. It is a real, genuine, legal experience that gives you and I power and authority to walk in the Holy Ghost, to act in the Holy Ghost. We can act just like Jesus tonight. We can walk in the Spirit. We have a right to do it. We've been made legal authoritarians when it comes to the Spirit of God. Praise God. Woo. Yeah, I'm trying to come down, but more power I feel. I want to eat this thing. Woo! Praise God. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is the source of joy. What is it that distracts you? You lose your joy. You go through seasons of distraction because you lose the presence. You lose your happiness. I mean, what is the enemy going to do with you when it doesn't take money to make you happy? I didn't say that being in poverty is the will of God. I'm going to talk about that in the morning. Sickness and poverty, honest to God. Do you think God is sending poverty and sickness into our life? Would he go to heal us and give his back to us so we can be sick? We're going to talk about that in the morning. I'm trying not to get over there. So Ephesians 1:3, 1:20, and 2:6, you've got to read that and see that wherever the head went, the body goes with it. And so he took you right into that place. The source of joy is the presence of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Number 6, write this down. The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. You plant a tree, an orange tree, and the oranges come out. You plant an apple tree, apples come out. You let the Holy Spirit work in your life. You got to have knowledge about this. When the Holy Spirit is working in my life, one of the fruits I'm going to have is joy. Number 7, write this down. The wisdom of the Holy Spirit will increase my joy. The wisdom that the Holy Spirit brings will increase your joy. If you'll listen to the Spirit of God, develop the Spirit of God in your life, it will give you wisdom. Let's look at, someone get me Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 13. I couldn't write all the scriptures out. And so some of them I just wrote down. We'll just turn to them. We'll read them. Proverbs 3 and 13. We're talking about the wisdom of the Holy Spirit brings an increase concerning joy in our life. Happy is the man that gets wisdom. I mean, I'm just telling you now, the knowledge of the Holy Spirit is going to bring joy. Write this down. Number 8, write this down. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. It not only brings joy, it not only is about wisdom, but it is actually called the Spirit of wisdom. Isaiah 11 and 2, you don't have to figure it out. You don't have to unfold it. You don't have to put it together. You don't have to get a college education to put it together after you buy it at Walmart. It is simply the Spirit of wisdom. And Isaiah 11 and 2 tells us that. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Well, that's Jesus, Brother Winslow. Yeah, but if you're born again, you're in the body of Christ. Wherever the head goes, the body goes with it. Are you getting that? Those are 8 of these things that we're talking about concerning the knowledge. Write this down. 5 wrong concepts that people make about joy. Joy is 1/4 of what the Holy Spirit's all about. If you've got joy, you can get some things done. And you can have joy in your trials. If you listen to the Holy Spirit of God, if you walk with God, you can have 5 wrong concepts people make about joy. And they're very simple, and I'll just give them to you real quick. People think that joy comes from, number 1, people. Number 2, promotions. Number 3, progress. Number 4, power. Number 5, possessions. 5 wrong concepts people make about joy. They think joy comes from people, promotions, progress, power, and possessions. The truth is, the Holy Spirit creates joy within you when you bring pleasure to God. When you please God, something's going to happen in your life. The real reason you were created was to bring pleasure to God. And the number one thing that pleases God, the number one passion that God has, is to be believed. When you step up and believe what the preacher, the pastor, the man of God in your life is telling you, it pleases God. When you hear the word of God and you say, Lord, I feel lousy. I'm going through a lot. There's a lot of bad things going on. But you know what? The word of God says, I'm blessed. You're with me and you're walking with me. So, Lord, I'm pushing my feelings aside and I'm believing something powerful is going to happen when you do that. Because God has one great pleasure or one great thing he wants, and that is to be believed. Look in the Bible. Walks by everybody else, but walks up to somebody that is believing him. God wants to be believed. Who's going to be that person? I'm going to be it. Is there anybody here who's going to be that person who's going to believe God? Write this down. When the Holy Spirit has its way in my life, the result will be, I'm going to wait till everybody writes that down, then I'm going to give it to you. When the Holy Spirit has its way in my life, the result is going to be, and then while you're writing that down, someone get Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. Man, I'm about to blow up in here in the Holy Ghost, man. There's so much faith in this place. Isn't it amazing? Take a garage and turn a little air on, get a PA in here, and praise God, have a little church. Huh? Isn't it awesome? What a king. You don't mind coming right here. All right, somebody get Isaiah 10, 27, and let's hear that, and then I'm going to give you the answer to that statement I just gave you. Because of the anointing. Write down eight facts. Well, the answer to when the Holy Spirit has its way in your life, the result is going to be the anointing. I thought anointing was just for preachers. No. Anointing is the results of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you please God, what you're going to feel is anointing. And I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands, but don't lift your hand up. But I really have a secret desire in this moment that I would like to know how many people really know what the anointing really is like. What it really feels like. What it's really like. Preachers, believe it or not, you think preachers preach for money? The ones that are not anointed preach for money. But when a man senses the anointing of God, he gets hooked on that anointing, and he's got to have it every day, and he can't get in a pulpit, and he can't talk, and he can't sing, and he can't sleep without it. It was meant to be addictive. Do you think Coke wasn't meant to be addictive? You think they would just start putting Coke out there and then all of a sudden somebody says, oh, wow, it's addictive. You think that there's not things in food that is addictive? You think just the way it is that everybody just loves French fries and fat foods? Anything that tastes good is not good for you. Now, write that down. You ain't got to go buy no book nowhere. Just write that down. Anything that tastes good ain't good for you. Let's talk about eight facts you should know about the anointing. Now, when the Holy Spirit has its way in your life, you only sense anointing when you obey. I'm not telling you to write that down. I'm just defining something. Everybody in this building right now is going to sense anointing tonight. Some of you already sensing it because you're hooking up to the knowledge of the Holy Spirit and it's starting to make sense to you, and the result is, you know, you're going to obey that anointing of God in your life. Why do we have to always hear testimonies? I tell you, the Lord just, he tried to call on me and work on me, and I mean for 2 weeks. And finally, praise the Lord, I obeyed God. When I hear that, that makes me sick. Do you know, back when I was 22 years old, I was preaching maybe my second or third revival. That I had two children at that time, me and my wife and two kids, and we had no food to eat. And we were preaching in this little church, and we had nothing to eat, nothing. And we had been praying 2 or 3 days for something to eat, for God to make a way for us. And this really truth. And the kids said, "Dad, can't we go out and get this? Can't we have, you know, there's..." I said, "I tell you what, let's do. Let's get our plates out here and put it on the table and get our glasses, and let's just pray before God, and this is not really a lot of faith, just a lot of stupidity, but I just said, "Ooh, don't you smell the chicken? Ooh, don't you smell?" Kids looked at me and said, "We don't smell nothing, Daddy. Nothing. Ooh, look at that glass with all that Coca-Cola in there. There's nothing in there, Dad, but water." And then there was a knock on the door, and a lady came in with groceries, everything we'd been believing for, and we were so happy. I told Sister Winslow, "Get the grease ready." Then she made a little statement, and when she said that, oh, man, I wanted to commit a crime. She said, "For 3 days the Lord's been trying to get me to come over here with these groceries." No, think about this. No, listen. Hey, listen. Think about this in your life. You got to get to a place that it don't take God 3 days to get you to do what he wants you to do. Why should it be that? When he calls, it ought to be now. When he calls for it, when he wants it, the result is going to be joy. And I can't figure it all out. I don't know why my problem's still there, my trouble's still there, but I just obeyed God and I feel different about it. And something really supernatural begins to take place in your life when you start letting the Spirit of God have its way. When you start obeying the Spirit of God in you, the result is anointing always. Always. And the anointing breaks the yokes, the yoke. Now, 8 facts you should know about the anointing. And we're moving along here. We're going to get to a place in just a moment. We're not quite there. 8 facts you should know about the anointing. Now, what's the anointing? It's the Holy Spirit in you, and you letting the Holy Spirit have its way in you, the Spirit of God having its way in you. And every time you obey God's Spirit, the result is the anointing. That's what you're feeling. That's what you're sensing. That's the power surge. That's the confidence. That's the strength. That's the fearlessness that you get. But we got to quit having God pressure us and pressure us and pressure us. There's not a preacher alive that likes to have a 20-minute altar service. Man, he wants to be at a place in that congregation, a place that when we call for the altar call, here they come. Huh? It may take someone 2 weeks to get the Holy Ghost, but I guarantee you it didn't take them 2 weeks to get filled with the Holy Ghost. It took them 2 weeks to get to the place to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Number one, write this down. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus that enabled him to heal the sick and cast out devils. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus. What was Jesus? Many things, but one of the things that he was our example. So when we start using language like this, we're not talking about multiplicity of Godheads or more than one person. We're identifying ministry and the example Jesus set before us. He was man and he was God. He was both. It was the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus that enabled him to heal the sick and cast out devils. Someone read Acts 10:38 for us. I probably should have wrote all these verses out and I could have just read them quickly. Someone read Acts 10:38 for us. God was with him. He was anointed of the Holy Ghost. Once again, I go right back to what we're going to teach in the morning, that you are the body of Christ. Wherever the head goes, the body goes. If Jesus was anointed and the anointing flowed on Jesus, it flows down through his body, and that's you and I. Number one, again, it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus that enabled him to heal the sick and cast out devils. So the more that you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, the more that you quicken your heart to obey God, means that the anointing is going to be there for you to do what you've got to do for God. And the secret to God taking care of your needs is you taking care of other people's needs. I know you've heard this, and I've heard all over Pentecost. What you make happen for others, God makes happen for you. And I've been preaching that and preaching all our lives, that if you want your kids touched, find somebody else's kids to help. If you want your marriage blessed, find somebody else's marriage to help. Well, what happens usually in carnality, you have trouble, you talk about it to somebody else, and you find a person got trouble just like you. Huh? I was on drugs one night, Westboro, Louisiana, walking over the Washita River on a bridge, and a guy was going to jump off that bridge. And I looked at him and said, "Hey, man, hey, dude, what's happening?" He said, "I'm fixing to jump off this bridge." "Don't do it." But in 15 minutes, we were both standing up there. And if it hadn't been for the flash of an officer putting his light on us and said, "Hey, get off of there," and run over there and handcuffing us, I would have woke up in some place I didn't want to be. And I thought the next day, "Dear God, what got a hold of me?" Yeah. The last thing you want to do is find someone in the same condition you're in. But isn't that what we always end up doing? If I'm thinking about committing suicide and I see somebody that has the same feeling, I'm running and get away from there. Number two. And someone get this for us. You'll have time to write this down. Matthew 8:28. Someone find that for us and get ready to read. Number two, the anointing creates fear in the heart of demonic spirits. The anointing creates fear in the hearts of demonic spirits. I was preaching a few months ago, and I was ministering in the Spirit. I was praying for people, and I mean, the Spirit of God was moving. And this woman runs down. It's a large church. She runs down the aisle, and she's running toward me, and she runs by and hits me with something. I don't know what she had, something in her hand. And runs around and goes out the back of the church. Didn't even bother me, didn't even stop me, didn't even budge me. I mean, I just saw her come up when she got close to me. I saw her hit me with something. Didn't hit me hard, but brushed me with something, ran right on out of the building. I didn't even say nothing. Next thing, I was right back to praying for people. And they went outside to get her. And she was out there, and she was just trembling and shaking, and she was couldn't understand what she was saying. She was a witch. And she'd come to that service thinking that she was going to put a curse on Brother Winslow. Huh? Touch me one time, you go crazy, man. I'm a crazy man. I'll blow your mind, man. Because the anointing creates fear in demonic spirits. And I don't go around looking for demonic spirits. And I didn't run back there and try to mess with that woman, because demons mainly want to distract. They would rather have the church. Demons would like to have you chasing them all over the building than trying to find somebody to get saved or somebody to get healed or somebody to get delivered. If the Lord's not directing me, I don't mess with demons unless the Lord's directing me. I keep my mind on the prize. The anointing creates fear in the hearts of demonic spirits. Matthew 8:28, he'll read that in 29. I apologize, I should have wrote these out.
"And when he was come to the other side, into the country of..." Wow. The time of my life I could pronounce that. "Or Gesenias. Why don't you try?"
I thought it was Gennesaret, but who knows?
so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?
They were having a demonic nervous breakdown.
Amen.
Huh? We should, it's okay to pray for people to be delivered, but us people of God should never have to have a preacher pray for us. Because some demonic spirit's bothering us. If you let the Spirit of God begin to work in your life, demons will fear, they'll tremble, they'll get away from that place. Huh? Now, I was preaching in California, and I was preaching a faith conference. There was 3 or 4 of us preaching. And a lot of the young preachers from Stockton Bible College came over, and a lot of young preachers had come out one night, and it must have been about 25, 30 of them. They were all gathered up and in front of the, and they were, you know, wanting to watch the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. And so after church, you know, I told the pastor, I said, look at these guys, these young guys, they want to go out to eat with me and you. And I said, they don't realize we stink like everybody else does, but let's just make them happy and go out and eat with them. So we all went out. Oh, they were just asking me and the pastor 1,000 questions about the gifts of the Spirit. And then one of them that was probably really gifted and was really moving in the direction of that, but he kind of got sidetracked in his mind about things. And he said, Brother Winslow, he said, I know you're a great man of God. When you go and you're in a hotel, a motel, and there's all kinds of spirits in there because I can feel them. He said, I'm in there and I'm tossing and turning and I can't sleep because of all those demonic spirits in that building. Brother Winslow, do you experience anything like that? I said, no. Sleep like a baby. I said, but they can't sleep very good. Because that really, honest to God, is the way it really is. The devil is more worried about you than you could ever be about him. And if he can't stop you from being saved, he's throwing everything he can throw at you to keep you from getting the knowledge of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Because one of the things that's going to happen is every one of his imps are going to tremble and fear and be afraid because of the anointing of God that is in your life. And I want you to start believing after this night, from now on out. You may not be in the fivefold ministry, but if you let God's Spirit work in your life, you are anointed. And I think, honest to God, the reason we're not getting the results, if we're not, I don't want to be negative, but if we're not getting the results, it's because we preachers, not your pastor and I or your pastors, but some preachers, I don't teach it and preach it. We end up making the people feel like they've got to have us. Right. I would love for all you to believe you've got to have me. But I can't lie and say you do. You might need me momentarily. You might need me for a second. You might need me for a Sunday. But when you walk out of that building, what you got on the inside of you is big enough, powerful enough, anointed enough to get the job done. It was never meant for Brother Winslow to pray for Aunt Susie 500 times every week till I rub a little bare spot on the top of her head. It was meant for Brother Winslow to give her a word from God and pray for her. Then she goes out with the anointing of God in her life. When we disperse out of this place, I don't know how many is here, but it's not going to be just 1 or 2 or 3 of us preachers. We're going to all walk out of here and we're going to have the knowledge of the Holy Ghost in our life, and the anointing is going to be the results. Now, I know, and I've got enough sense to know we're not all called to do this and that and the other. But we all, if we have the Holy Ghost and the anointing in our lives, if we have the Holy Spirit in our life, we have the anointing. The anointing creates fear in the hearts of demonic spirits. And you don't have to talk that up. I preached one night. And look, a guy called me. I hope I don't forget what I'm going to tell you. A guy called me up on the phone. I'm so-and-so. I'm evangelist. And he said, and I major in demons. I told him, I didn't say this, but I said to myself, you might major in demons, but you're not coming to our church. Because the last thing, there's plenty of demons out there. Now, if he told me I major in angels, man, I'm with you, baby. Come on. But seriously, a guy that starts saying that stuff, demons are going to show up. You know? Praise God. Praise God. Woo! Son. I hope I didn't mess nobody up on that, brother. Praise God. Woo! I hope I didn't mess nobody up on that. I was preaching in this church, and one night I was so in the Spirit of God, I was so emphatically preaching about loving souls. Quit talking about this city. Quit downing this place. Quit saying you want to move. Quit saying, because God loves this place, and you've got to get this love for your city, for your church, for your preacher. You've got to get love, and you've got to speak it. And I was just talking about loving this city. Oh, I must have said it 1,000 times. The very next day, downtown in that city, getting me something to eat, this demonic woman, I hear a voice speaking to me. I don't care what you say. I don't love you. I turned around and thought, who is this woman talking to? I looked, and she looked right at me. You heard me. I don't care what you say. I don't love you. But I wanted to tell her, I don't love you either, baby. You're a little bit spooky. Huh? A little bit on the wild side. Woo! Them eyes. Yikes. Huh? Don't need no Halloween mask. Just do that. Woo! Get all the candy you want. But I identified it was the spirits of that city afraid that I was going to accomplish what the Spirit of God wanted to accomplish. It was fear in that demon spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. You let the anointing of God move in your life, and I'm going to tell you, demons and things that are bothering you, they'll just disappear and dissipate. You watch. After I've spoke this, and you're going to move in this, in the anointing of God, you won't have to speak that much to demons. Sometimes you do, but you won't have to speak much. Number three, Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Number three is the anointing will enable you to stand. The anointing will enable you to stand. And I mean stand with a good attitude, with praise, with assurance. Because something, I mean, everything God does, it takes endurance. You've got to go through some things to get it done. It's just the way it is. Well, the anointing is the enabler. Number four, write this down. The anointing abides with you. And that's important. 1 John 2 and 27. The anointing abides with you. That means that once you walk in the favor of God, and once you start breaking in, I noticed this, that when I would break into something, like I remember the first time I had a creative miracle. That means something that wasn't there was put there. That's one of the highest orders of the miraculous, is to see something put there that wasn't there. And I'd seen God heal things that were wrong and remove cancers, but I'd never seen cataracts come off people's eyes, but I'd never seen a pupil replaced. I'd never seen body parts replaced. Those are creative miracles. And I remember the first creative miracle that ever happened was a woman that had had a thyroid lasered out of her throat, and the Lord spoke to me, and I said, you've had a thyroid removed out of your throat. And I said, but God's going to replace that thyroid. Laid hands on her in the name of Jesus, and a few days later, she called pastor and said, I went to the doctor, and praise God, they found a thyroid. But here's my point. My point is not to get happy, but as soon as that happened, boom. I mean, it wasn't just another night or two. And there was another woman, and she didn't have a thyroid, and I prayed for her, and she got a thyroid. A second creative miracle. And then to tell you, it wasn't long, and it was another one with a thyroid. And she got a thyroid. Then the next thing you know, I was at another place, and this woman got healed of a thyroid. This one got touched. And I don't care if you don't even believe it or not, but there was a woman who walked into service one night, and I whispered in her ear because I didn't want her to be embarrassed, but I said, you're fixing to lose some weight. You're going to lose it quick because you've got a problem with your thyroid, and God's going to heal it. And God gave her a brand new thyroid. It started working, and I mean the pounds melted off of her. Then I went to this church. God's moving in creative miracles. Had the lady with the no pupil, born without pupils. Boom, that's creative. Started seeing. And then I prayed for this lady. I mean, this is like 3 weeks, and it was kind of new to me, so I mean, I'm learning. So there's this lady. I told her, to come out here, I'm going to pray for you. I said, you're not where you need to be. I said, but that's okay, because there's a lot of people here who are not where they need to be. Don't feel bad about it. And I said, God's fixed to touch you, and you're fixed to get prayed back through. I said, God's showing me you on a big bus, and you're driving this big bus, but it's an old bus. And the tears started flowing. And I said, God said he's going to put that joy back in your heart, and you're going to give it. She used to drive a bus and go get kids and bring them to school, to church, in a big school bus, and she had backslid. She wasn't where she needed to be with God. And I said, I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to touch you. And I said, you're getting back where you need to be with God, and God's going to start using you back again. And just before I prayed for her, I said, and you've got something going on in the female area of your body. And God said, I'm repairing it. I said, whoa, wait a minute. It's your ovaries. And she didn't tell me that she'd had them removed, and God didn't tell me they were gone. But I said, it's your ovaries. You know what she thought? She said, he missed that. I don't have any. And then I got a call from her, and she was real mad because she was pregnant. And I wasn't trying to be vulgar. I said, what are you calling me for? I mean, I know the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, but hallelujah. Come on. I know I'm contagious, but dear God. What are you calling me for? I wasn't trying to be rude. I mean, but just, she said, well, because you prayed for me and I didn't have any ovaries. And I said, well, you should have believed. 2 + 2 = 4. You know more about it than I do what God was doing. You should have thought about that. But we don't need a baby right now. I said, well, praise the Lord. You've got good ovaries. They're working good. Hallelujah. I did my job. It's up to you to do the rest. Huh? Come on, folks. We got to recognize that God is working in us, and the anointing is enabling us, and the anointing is abiding with us. It doesn't leave us. And so once the anointing abides, when you start getting these breakthroughs, these creative miracles started happening, it's worth the struggle, it's worth the fight to overcome whatever it is. Maybe there is an inherited physical trait you have about you emotionally or whatever it might be that you can't handle certain things. You don't have to stay in that all your life. You can develop the anointing of God in your life so that the anointing will abide with you. I found out that when I fast, that most of the miracles I get are not during the fast, but after the fast. I found out that when the power of God moves on me, I get most of my results after the power of God has moved on me. I found out that when I get a hold of God, get my heart close to God, it's not just that momentary thing. The anointing bides with you. It goes with you. You get to a place in God where you're walking with God that even when you're not praying, it's working. Even when you're not saying anything, it's talking. You see what I'm saying? The anointing abides with you. 1 John 2:27. I know we got to hurry. Number 5. Now, I'm sincere about this. Listen, I'm sincere. I'm not saying that you have to think everything the preacher does is lovely. We're human beings. And sometimes we get a kind of a bad attitude about things. But I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to tell you because it is the truth. Number five, write it down, underline it. You must be careful with the anointing. You've got to be careful with the man of God who carries the anointing, who is used of God in the anointing in ways that no one else in that congregation is going to be used. If you don't respect the man, respect the anointing. I can go with anybody. I can hang out with anybody that has the anointing. And I can respect any man of God or any child of God. I mean, there are some people, nobody here, there are some people that they just don't have a good personality. They're not cool to hang out with. But God uses them. Right? And so you respect the anointing. You've got to be careful with the anointing. And be careful not to criticize those who carry the anointing. Be careful if the service goes long. And the Spirit of God is brooding, and the Spirit of God is working, and the Spirit of God is causing you to wait on God. No one likes to miss the meal or pressure's getting on you to leave, but just wait on the Lord. When I first got saved, I went to revival. I worked night shift in a paper mill, 11 to 7. 11 o'clock at night to 7. I went to this revival. The power of God began to move. And it was 10 o'clock. The Spirit of God's moving. It's 10:15. The Spirit of God's moving. It's 10:20. The Spirit of God's moving. Man, I got to be at work. Spirit of God's moving. Spirit of God's moving. I'm shouting the anointing of God. I'm praying with people. The Spirit of God's moving. It's 25 minutes till. And I mean, I'm going to have to go in my church clothes to work. Quarter till. 5 till. 5 after 11. And I'm still talking in tongues. Was it wisdom? I don't know, but I'm there. So I call my boss on the phone, and everybody's shouting, hallelujah, yeah. I mean, it's just, yes, this is Gordon. I said, I'm going to be a little late coming in. And I said, maybe might not make it. Where are you at, Gordon, at a bar? I said, no, I'm not at a bar. I'm at a church. At 11 o'clock at night, you're at a church service? I said, Pentecost. Didn't even have to get it all out of my mouth. He understood. He said, well, all I can tell you is when you come in tomorrow night, we're going to have a sit down. So I'm sitting in there and he's telling me, he goes, man, we ought to fire you. Man. And I said, hey, wait a second. Hold us just a minute now. I said, there's a lot of these guys are drunk at night and they don't come to work. They lie. But I know they wasn't at home sick. And you know they wasn't at home sick, but they lied. I could have called you on the phone and said, hey, man, I can't come in. But I got the Holy Ghost. I'm at church, and I'm praising God. And I said, I should have come, and you probably could preach at me that I should have been there. I said, but I told you the living truth. And I said, hadn't I been a changed man? Hadn't it been different? He said, man, I tell you what, go on to work, but don't you tell anybody we had this conversation. Huh? The anointing goes before you. The anointing will help change decisions and determination about you. Let the anointing, and it goes with you. And there's a place you get in God where it's, even when you're not praying, it's there. Now, don't use that for an excuse and say, well, Brother Winslow said, you know, I don't have to pray every day. Honey, you going to come pray? No, the anointing's praying for me right now. Woo! That's crazy, isn't it? That's not what I mean. Number six, very important. Write this down. The anointing that you respect is the anointing that will grow in your life. When you recognize an anointing in a man of God's life and you respect that anointing, the result is going to be the same anointing is going to grow in you. You cannot receive anything from anybody in God's kingdom that you don't respect. Respect opens the door of impartation. You have to respect that anointing. Number seven, the anointing upon you is for the ministry to others. The anointing is not to make you better, to make you sell tapes, to make you sing better, to make you more popular. The anointing is there for one primary purpose, and that's to minister to others. When the Spirit of God begins to move in a service, and you all know when the Spirit of the Lord just begins to have its way, it's not just for shouting. It's for ministry. And I've seen people that when the Spirit of God began to move, that we couldn't move them till then. And then when the Spirit of God began to move, man, we could go, come follow me. Come on and go over here. I had a woman tell me one night, said, Brother Winslow, my husband's going to be here in a little bit. Whatever you do, you know who I am. But the man sitting by me, don't call him out. Because he's only coming because I made him come tonight. And he said, better not nobody mess with me. So she was giving me a 1-2-4 about it. But I'm going to tell you something. The power of God began to move in that place. We prayed for some people. We preached. People obeying God. The Holy Ghost began to move all over that place. And the Spirit of the Lord said, go get him. Go get him now because he can't resist. She was standing right beside him. I went and I said, come here, go with me. He just looked at me like a little puppy and stepped right out and started following by him. Big old dude. And here I said, come on, go with me. I said, stand right there. He stood right there and said, lift your hands up right now. This is what's fixing to happen to you. Bam! Because the anointing is on you for ministry. Look at Isaiah, oh, I can't read my writing. I think it's 61. And someone read that, Isaiah 61 and 1 through 3. And if that's not it, then I'll have to look it up when I get back to the room. I'm almost through. Isaiah 61 and 1 through 3. Because we're fixing to pray. And we're going to impart. And we're just going to pray for everybody in the building and obey the Lord and do whatever God wants us to do. Isaiah 61, 1, 2, and 3. Who'll read that?